Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We're welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholar lives of the most outstanding Sahabi or the companions of the Shiite infallible Imams. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadahi are the special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom for today's discussion. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadahi, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding figure who is believed to be the first Naib or the special deputy or representative of Imam al-Mahdi Ajjalallah during the minor occultation. He is no one but Osman ibn Sayyid Amri. We will talk more about what is Niaba, what is Naib, what does it mean to be among the Nawab al-Arba'a or the four special deputies of Imam. Ask before anything, Sheikh Rouhani, who was he exactly, Osman ibn Sayyid al-Amri?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Osman ibn Sayyid al-Amri was the first deputy of Imam al-Mahdi Ajjalallah ta'ala farajuhu al-Sharif. And he was also among the companions of Imam al-Jawad, Imam al-Hadi, and Imam Hassan al-Askari. So he actually accompanied three other imams as well, in addition to Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala, farajuhu al-Sharif.
Yes.
And then, of course, there are some doubts regarding this, that whether he was among the Imam al-Jawad's companions or not. But what is well known about him is this, that he was also the companions of Imam al-Jawad, alayhi salatu wassalam, as well.
Yes.
So, of course, he was the special deputy of Imam al-Mahdi since the beginning of the imamate of Imam al-Mahdi until the end of his life, about 6 or 7 years later. So, yes. In all this time, he was among the representatives and Naib of the Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajuhu al-Sharif.
Safir, they also use Safir al-Awwal.
Yes, Safir al-Awwal, of course. Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yes, Osman becomes the Imam's deputy, and then since he was the deputy, Osman went actually to Baghdad and spent his deputation there in Baghdad and other cities of Iraq. And he had agents who received religious kind of texts from the people and sent it to the Imam. And then, upon his demise, Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajuhu al-Sharif sent a letter of condolence to his son. In hadith sources, it is mentioned. So that's why he had a very, great status for the Imam, particularly for the Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajuhu al-Sharif.
All right. Okay, Sheikh Fadahi, as we said, he was As-Safir al-Awwal, the first Naib, the first special deputy to Imam Asr. So, first of all, talk about this position of him. What was this position to be As-Safir or Naib to Imam Asr? What are the main duties of this person? And why at all Imam Asr selected such people as the, intermediary between himself and the people around?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, first of all, it's good to talk about the reason why.
Yes.
For that, it's better to go a little backward and talk about the position of imamah.
Yes.
You know, after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had 12 imams. And as Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam formed a government, all imams wanted to have this position. Not just as a will and want, as a duty from God. There is a book called A 250-Year Man.
Yes.
in Persian, Insana 250 Saleh, which is a collection of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, his lectures about Imams. You know, the result and summary is that these Imams are as one soul, and all of them were after government.
Yes.
They had to form a government. Some of them, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was successful to have this position and to be the responsible of Islamic society. But the others, they couldn't. But it doesn't mean that they didn't want to have a position of being a caliph for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted. And because of that, the Amavid and Abbasid caliphs, they tried to, first of all, they tried to have imams in the prisons,
yes,
or I don't know, in the under military control. Bases,
yes,
under controls.
Yes.
And after all, when they realized that they cannot control imam, they killed imams one after each other.
Yes.
So when it comes to Imam Hassan al-Askari, they knew from the rivayats and ahadith of prophets and their imams, previous imams, that after Imam Hassan al-Askari, the last one, the next one,
yes,
will destroy the caliphate.
Yes.
They destroyed every oppressor.
Yes.
So because of that, they didn't want to have that imam from the beginning,
mm-hmm,
not to have it under control.
Okay.
They wanted to kill him.
Yes.
You know, the story is like the story of Moses, alayhi salam.
Yes.
After Moses had a struggle with one of his enemies and killed him,
mm-hmm,
he exited the city, and in Quran we have فَخَرَجَ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ.
I
mean, he left the city,
yes,
because he didn't have the security of life,
mm-hmm,
and he was hopeful to get back.
Yes.
Imam Zaman was like that. Enemies wanted to kill him,
mm-hmm,
in order not to have an opponent,
yes,
in front of them.
That's
so
fine.
Imam Zaman kharaja khaifan, it means he left the Islamic society, apparently,
yes,
not in reality, because he didn't have the security of life, but he's hopeful to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot
yes,
of time until
yes,
now. So, but it was not just to leave the society without anyone to control the society, to do the jobs, because people, or it's better to say Shiites, didn't have access to imams.
Yes.
So there was a need for this access.
Mm-hmm.
So if imam wanted to have apparent access with Shiites, so they would find him,
yes,
and kill him.
Yes. Or imprison him at least.
Imprison.
That's right. Okay.
So because of that, imam decided, of course, by the order of God,
yes,
decided to have some representative,
yes,
to do the duties of imamate.
Mm-hmm.
So these four representatives, they did whatever imam wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that they were something like king or, I don't know, like caliph.
Okay.
No, just representative.
Okay.
So Shias could have access to imam, but indirectly. So there isn't any difference between direct access or indirect access. Nowadays, we don't have any direct access,
yes,
to prophets and imams.
Yes.
But we are Shia. We know our duty.
Okay.
So this representation or vekala or niaba,
yes,
this was a solution for access,
mm-hmm,
to imam.
That's right.
So, of course, there are a lot to say.
Yes.
We can continue.
Yes. Okay, that's right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
And through different ways, he was responsible to send the messages, or it's better to say, to convey the messages of Imam As to the people. They say Osman was called Samman and Zayyat too, because he was selling oils and the olives.
So through this job, we can say, or occupation, he was selling them and in fact sending the messages of Imam As to the people. But Sheikh Rouhani, what are the main duties of a safir of an imam? Sheikh Fadai said that he has not absolute power to do anything he likes. He is under the order, or it's better to say, he abides by the orders of Imam As. But what are exactly his duties?
You know, first of all, we should know that the situation was so much difficult for the imams because yes. they were living in Samarra, which was like a kind of, let's say,
military camp
or bases, yes. yeah, for yes. the Abbasid, let's say, kings. So that's why this Uthman ibn Sa'id moved to Baghdad. As you rightly mentioned, in Baghdad, he was living and also selling some things as a seller. He was living there, but of course, since the... because of the lots of problems that imams faced, particularly Imam al-Asr Arwahun al-Fida. So his duty and his, let's say, responsibility was this, that to be like a kind of a deputy or a kind of representative for yes. the imam. And of course, he was also the representative of the people to the imam, because from both sides,
yes.
He was like a representative, a deputy. So Imam actually sent some letters, some orders, commandments, pieces of advices, sometimes nasa'i, for example,
the religious questions and the jurisprudential questions of the people were answered to by the Imam?
Of course, yeah. Okay. And these, let's say, letters or orders of the Imam were given to Uthman mm-hmm. ibn Sa'id.
Yes.
And then Uthman ibn Sa'id transferred them to the people uh-huh. or gave them to the people.
Okay.
And then sometimes the people referred to this yes. Uthman ibn Sa'id. As he was, because he was introduced by the Imam himself
yes.
as his representative, as his yes. deputy.
So it was officially
in many occasions,
introduced.
Yeah. Okay. That's why he also received the questions of the people and then give it to the Imam and then receive the responses of the Imam and then give it back to the people. Mm-hmm. So it was the main responsibility of Uthman ibn Sa'id as the deputy of Imam al-Asr. Arwahuna Fida.
That's right.
He was not only the deputy of this Imam, he was also the deputy of Imam al-Hasan al-Askari and Imam al-Hadi as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Samarra, he accompanied all these Imams. So that's why he was the most, let's say, important representative of yes. the Imam.
That's all right. A really outstanding and great position. Okay, Sheikh Fatahi, so all in all in here, we could see that this is happening during Qibat al-Sughra, isn't it?
Yes.
The minor occultation of Imam As. And for how many years, it's better to say, Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri was in charge of being representative to the Imam.
Imam Mahdi was born in the year 255.
Okay.
And when he was in the age 5,
mm-hmm.
his father demised, passed
yes.
away.
Yes.
And it means that he became Imam.
Yes.
When he was 5, and it is not strange because mm-hmm. they are not usual and ordinary
yeah.
people.
Yeah, yeah.
And from the beginning of the time of his imamah, he had to be hidden
yes.
from the eyes of kingdom.
Yes.
And even we have in the history that Imam Hasan al-Askari didn't tell anyone about the birth of his child.
Okay.
And even his mother, the mother of Imam Zaman, didn't have the sign of pregnancy.
Yes.
So the minor occultation started from the first year of his imamah. It means 260.
Yes.
And about 70 years,
mm-hmm.
This minor occultation lasted.
Okay.
It means from the year 260 up to 329.
So, sorry, Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri as
and
the first safi.
The first one
okay.
was Imam's deputy and safi for 6 or 7 different records.
So from age 5 of Imam?
When Imam was 5,
uh-huh.
he was Imam's na'ib.
So now this is a grown-up man, a mature man who
yeah.
has to...
That is the real velaya.
Uh-huh.
He is a mature one,
yes.
as we think and we
yes.
see. And his Imam is a child.
Is 5
But
years
they
old.
Know that in the subject of imamah, age doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the problems about this age... we had about Ja'far al-Kazzab.
Yes.
He was the uncle of Imam al-Zaman.
Yes.
And he claimed that, come on, it's just a boy,
child.
Just
yeah.
a child.
I am the
and
Imam.
I'm a mature man, uh-huh. and I'm Imam's brother.
Uh-huh.
So this position of Imam had
yes.
to come to me.
Uh-huh.
But it is not like that.
Yes.
And we
there's this also Imam is asked send a letter to Osman.
Yes,
and
denied him.
And denied him. That's right. That he
and
not
even Ja'far al-Kazzab wanted to have the ceremony of burying the Imam and to have the salat of Mayyat. Yes. Imam Zaman didn't allow him. So about 70 years we had the minor occultation, and the first Na'ib was Imam's deputy and Safi for at most 7 years.
That's right.
Osman ibn Sa'id Amri.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the life of this outstanding man. As you said, a grown-up man who is obeying the orders of a child, his imam, at the age of five, and then see how much imam is knowledgeable in that age, could answer the questions of so many people, answer the queries, you know, on that time. This must be very much outstanding and outstanding episode of the history of the Shiite Islam. The exact date of the demise of Osman ibn Sa'id al-Amri is not known, but maybe it is 267 according to the Hijri calendar. He passed away in a neighborhood called Ad-Darb or Ad-Dorb, maybe Ad-Darb, that's right, in Baghdad, and he is buried over there. It is believed that Sheikh Al-Tusi used to pay visit to the tomb of this outstanding man in the city of Baghdad from years 408 to 430, that's the region in Baghdad. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program The Teacher, which was about the first Na'ib or Safir al-Awwal, the first special deputy of Imam Asr, Osman ibn Sa'id al-Amri. May Allah and Imam Asr accept our struggles in spreading the religion of Islam and the teachings of the Shiite Islam, inshallah. For more information on this program, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.